Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the issue of the day, the war against God and Christian values. And we see that dominant today in the Biden administration and every cabinet post that he has nominated and put into position. Embrace that which is against the truth of the Word of God. Embrace that which is antithetical to anything that's called biblical Christianity. And just before the break, I had touched on an article. The article is so telling. The American Civil War is over at Judeo-Christian Values by Dennis Prager. And it talks about the truth of the fact of what is taking place. It says they are right, but they rarely explain what Judeo-Christian values are. Yet without an explanation, monitoring Judeo-Christian values is useless. He says, so let me do that now. He says in this article, Judeo-Christian values are essentially another foreign term for biblical truth, biblical values. Judaism and Christianity are both based on the Old Testament. It's God in it's God's Ten Commandments. It's admonition to love one another and to love God and to lead a holy life. Christians also believe in the New Testament, but only an opponent of Christianity would argue that the New Testament negates the values of the Old Testament. And he goes on to talk about 3 or 4 standards. Objective moral standards come from God. God judges our behavior. Second thing, therefore we're accountable to God. 3, just as morality derives from God, so do our rights. All men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, Declaration of Independence declares. And he goes on to talk about a human being is uniquely precious. 5th thing, he says, the world is based on our divine order, merely divinely ordained distinctives. 6, human beings are not basically good. They have a wicked heart, etc., etc. All human beings are created in God's image, and we're to fear God, not man. Fear God is the very foundation of our morality and our liberty in America. And he further states in his summary statements, liberty. America can be founded on the belief that God wants us to be free. On the Liberty Bell is inscribed just one thing. It is a verse from the Bible. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all of the inhabitants thereof. And he goes further to say, but there is currently an assault on personal liberty and the Judeo-Christian values. Greg, I believe that is succinctly stated by Dennis Prager, and I believe that multitudes have heard and watched his videos and so forth that is so pertinent as to the examination of society today. But one of the things that I find so revealing is that in D.C., Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris are being sued today because they banned prayer at the Capitol. The free space on the sidewalks and the green in front of the Capitol formerly has been used for demonstrations, if you will, for speech, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But because the pastor that's been doing that on Good Friday, each Easter season, has been banned from doing so, as a result of that, he's had to file suit against Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi because of that. This article says Nancy Pelosi and the Vice President Kamala Harris have been named defendants in a lawsuit that accuses them of unconstitutionally banning a prayer vigil held annually at the Capitol. The action is in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. filed by Patrick Mahoney. He wants to hold a Good Friday prayer vigil, as he has done in previous years, in the lower terrace on the Capitol. And he goes on to talk about how that's been banned by fiat. No law, just banned. Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris says you can't do it, and therefore you can't do it. It's as though they are the dictators that control D.C. and what happens with free speech there. Greg, what is your take on that?
I think we ought to, you know, the left likes to do things. They had their summer of love where they burned down cities all over the United States. They snatched down monuments and destroyed buildings. Okay, and a lot of times those were created by flash mobs. You know, they go online and all of a sudden, you know, all these people all get messages that it's time to go hit, you know, and they pick a location. It was time for a flash mob at the in the midst of D.C. And that flash mob shows up and starts preaching the gospel and praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they want to lock us up, well, more power to you. Guess what? This is something that believers need to go ahead and expect. And even when I say embrace, I'm not saying that I want persecution, but if they think they're going to dish it out, they think somehow or another they're going to crush the cause of Christ, they got another thought coming, because this has been tried for 2,000 years, folks. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of times as Saul persecuting. And you know what? When God called him and he, as the Apostle Paul, went from city to city, I think it's you. The black robe patriot, the fellow I'm talking to, Dr. Gene Youngblood, I think it's you that said he'd probably check out the local jail in each new town he went to, because that's where he knew he was going to spend the night. I mean, folks need to realize these things are coming, and go ahead and speak the truth in love. And if you have to spend the night in jail, or have to spend a year in jail, that's fine. It's for the cause of Christ. It's great. If I were this preacher, I would go right ahead and do exactly what I feel called to do. And if it's preach or to pray at the Capitol, go ahead and do it. And, you know, that's the First Amendment assault we've got going on now. And the Second Amendment assault's been going on for a while. We see it in full color right now with the Biden administration attacking the Second Amendment three ways to Sunday. And I think it's you, again, Pastor Black Robe Patriot, it's you that wrote the book. What's it called? The Doctrine of Self-Defense. That book's out there, folks. You can hit Amazon, a couple clicks. You can have it on your way to your home. But the Second Amendment didn't come out of thin air, folks. There's a God-given right there, and it's a right that pre-existed the Constitution, pre-existed the Bill of Rights, and literally the notion of self-defense is embedded in our Scripture. It's not something that government gave us. It's something that government ought to preserve and protect. Government, according to the Declaration, is instituted among men to do what? To secure our rights, not to assault them. Government ought to be securing our rights.
Greg, you said that so succinctly and so distinctly stated, but yet I find that among Christians and conservatives and patriots, somehow, some way, when you take a stand on an issue or you go to battle because of a moral, ethical, biblical issue wherein you stand is correct, it is rare to find other Christians, other conservatives, other patriots to join lock arms with you and take a stand on those issues together. The, as I call them, the loose, lax, lost liberals will band together. BLM will band together. Those that are the Antifa will band together. Those that are on the left, i.e. the Sodomites and the LGBTQ community in general, will band together, even if they don't know the other individual. But I find it antithetical to biblical truth where that is not applied, that is not lived out in the life of most Christians. In fact, in today's society, Christians have become so soft, they think that somehow, some way, Christianity ought not to cost us anything. I'm looking at an article dated April the 1st. It says, a costly Christianity, a costless, C-O-S-T-L-E-S-S, costless Christianity. And this writer says, as we reach the end of the Holy Week in the Christian tradition, it would behoove all of us to have found salvation through Jesus Christ to do a bit of introspective examination of what it means to be a Christian. The title Christian tends to be so cavalierly tossed around without much analysis. Further, the article says, in today's culture, an easy believism simply identifying as a Christian does not carry the whole lot of sway. Recent research demonstrates that nearly 70% of all Americans identify as a Christian. Does it, they think so by simply calling themselves one. Does calling oneself a Christian make you really a Christian? And it goes further talking about, so being a genuine Christian must mean more than just a hat tip to the Son of God in our acknowledgement of his sacrifice on the cross. Yes, Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins, but is acknowledging that fact really all that is required for one to self-identify as a Christian? And it's an elongated article, but simply put, Greg, and for our listening audience, it goes on to talk about, unless we're willing to die to self, take up the cross, follow Jesus, we've not been truly born again. And I simply say for our listeners today, and for each one in particular, to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it means taking a stand. It means taking a stand for truth. It means standing for truth, even if it means standing for truth to death. And so it is a very imperative thing, I think, at this point in particular, to realize what we're losing in society. And Greg, for the sodomite lifestyle and for those that are out there in it, and perhaps people think, well, why is it so that they're so proud of that? They're taking a stand and publicly stating that. And my mind goes to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. They show to their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their souls, Isaiah 3:9 says. In other words, they've gotten to the point in society today, ladies and gentlemen, that there's such a wretched declension in the conscience that it is so absolutely calloused that they are proud of their lifestyle, and they're going to force the church, the body of Christ, conservatives and Christians, to embrace it. And that's being forced by government today and other things that we'll talk about in just a moment. I believe I have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, this is Dan. I wanted to share something about the cost of making a stand. And I'm not bragging or boasting or putting myself out for anything but the truth. As a whistleblower in 80 against a national issue permeated by the government, making a monopoly in the railroad industry, trying to expose organized crime to the unions, racketeering, and so forth, I lost everything, a 12.5-acre home and the job for 4 years, just because I, back then, 41 years ago, tried to bring out the truth. But the media had the power to squelch. Imagine the power they have today. Oh, my God. They literally stole the White House and the presidency. Now, that's power. They literally are creating a one-world order. That's power. So the only way we're ever going to have hope to do anything is to be prepared to sacrifice. Yeah, I lost it all. God restored it. And I am better off today because I know that I know that I know that my future is in his hands, and the cause he has continually to give me will one day come forth. And that's what that evening with the common man, I hope to be able to, you know, put together will achieve. And it is God calling the commoners, his true believers, to stand and to do what he leads them to do. And if we absolutely don't, goodbye.
That's right, absolutely. It is a need for us to stand today, and if we don't, as you said, it's goodbye. It's goodnight. It's Katie barred the door, as the old cliche goes. Dan,
yeah,
I'm with you, brother.
Whatever you lose, it's worth it. Trust me. It's worth it.
The Apostle Paul, as you study the third chapter of the book of Philippians, the epistle that he wrote to the church at Philippi, in verses 12, 13, and 14, he says, he's already said in verse 7, 8, and 9 that he's counted everything that he thought was valuable. I'm paraphrasing. Paul said everything he thought was valuable, he counted as dung to win Christ and to know the power of his resurrection. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, 13, and 14 that he's not arrived yet. He's still growing. He's still maturing in the Lord. But those things that are past, he's putting them behind him and reaching forth, striving forth for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And that ought to be the goal of every Christian, for every child of God. But Dan, brother, we love you and praise the Lord for your stand. And thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your call today. And as I always say, keep on looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Greg, what is your response to Dan's statements? How do we see that?
Hats off to you, brother. The reality is, if you're going to stand for the truth, be prepared to pay a price.
Yes.
There are only 50, 56 founding fathers signed an oath. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. I got news for you folks. It cost a lot of them their lives and their fortunes. Thank God they didn't give up their sacred honor. For those disciples that followed Jesus Christ, there was a price to be paid. It was not easy believism. This cheap grace and easy believism is going to, very soon, and I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I think this the falling away that we're seeing is not the real body of Christ falling away. I don't think the real body of Christ falls away. I believe the wheat and the tares are beginning to separate themselves even now. And I mean, this may continue. This may be the great falling away. By the way, I'd like to switch gears for just a moment because I'm going to have to go. But I'm thinking about all the different ways that Christendom is under assault. And one of the ways, and they're talking about it today because they're talking about this $2 trillion of infrastructure spending. And they've already spent the $2 trillion, $1.9 trillion on the COVID relief, that only 9% of it went to COVID relief. They're already saying this morning reports are 5 or 6% of this $2 trillion will actually go to what we call conventional infrastructure. But, folks, every time the government spends more money than they take in, they're not spending your money. They're spending your kids' money, your grandkids' money, your great-grandkids' money. And I've got news for you. We've got a responsibility to our kids. Matter of fact, Scripture says if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. In Psalm 78, it goes through your responsibility for two generations that you have a responsibility to share with, not to do harm to, but to share with. And that's sharing God's love, His judgments, His mercies, His grace right on down the list. But I think that you've got a responsibility not to do them harm. How about that? And when you're spending their money, when you're bankrupting them, you're doing them harm. They're going to spend this $2 trillion on top of the other $2 trillion, on top of the $28 trillion they were already in, we're already in debt, on top of the $159 trillion in unfunded liabilities. We're already, based on the spending that's already taken place, we're already at 129% debt to GDP in this country. At 140% debt to GDP, Greece went off the map. I mean, there's a bankruptcy event for them. We are bankrupting the next generation. And this all seems plausible. It all seems doable. It all seems okay because interest rates are so low. The interest rates are fake, folks. They're playing games. The Federal Reserve Bank has been buying debt at a lick for the end of last year, $120 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities and treasuries. Why do you think treasury yields are like 1.5%? That's not real, folks. You know what real numbers are? Real numbers are like what we were dealing with in 1981. Check my math. I want you to type this in your computer. Treasury yields 1981, they peaked at 16.26%. Do you know today, if we were paying half that on treasuries, every penny that went to the federal government would likely go to pay interest on the debt. No payment for Social Security, no payment for Medicare, no payment for military, no payment for all your welfare programs, no payment for parks, no payment for this, that, and the other thing. Folks, it would all go to debt. Are we bankrupt today? Yep. And we're bankrupting ourselves more and more. That is a generational evil that's taking place. As a Christian, I can't say that's okay. It's not okay. You're robbing our great-grandkids. You're bankrupting them today.
Well, what you see, Greg, and I know that you know this, and our listeners may or may not, we're watching an administration today that what they're doing is for the New World Order. What they're doing is to destroy the capitalistic system. What they're doing is to overthrow the Constitutional Republic. And as Joe Biden himself has used the term, build back better, and that's the mantra out of communism, is to tear down a system and to build it back better. And that building back better is that which is seen through the eyes of a socialist, Marxist, Maoist, Leninist, communist agenda. And that's exactly what we see taking place. And part of that agenda under Marxism is to separate society and to divide the nation and divide the nation so that you can overthrow the nation more easily, more readily. And that's what's taking place today. And it's a frightening thing. And our listeners need to understand, Greg, that from the Christian standpoint, it won't always be like we have seen it. Yes, when persecution comes, the church will grow, but it will grow underground only and not the above ground or the visible church. It will be the invisible church as in the first century where they had to go into caves and hide in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The same is true in China today. Same is true in North Korea today. And as we see it in those nations, we will see in America, if Jesus tarries, if the rapture tarries, we'll see that very same thing. Greg, I know you've got to go, but I really appreciate you taking time to join this discussion today. So have a safe journey going back to that southern tip of heaven. And so up in Tennessee. Thank you so much for calling and joining us. And God bless you. Look
Thank
up.
You.
Keep looking up. Amen.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the war on God and Christian values. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here that says the global trace and track regime, the global trace and track regime. The article states, and it's dated March the 30th, 2021, the Biden administration's vaccine passport scheme is just the teeny tiny tip of a massive private invasion iceberg. A year ago this week, I began chronicling the worldwide weaponization of COVID-19 by big government, by big business, to trace and track the health data of untold hundreds of millions of human beings. And it goes on to talk about what is taking place and how it is happening in Singapore and how it's happening in other nations around the world. And the article says the tech oligarchs are in the driver's seat, not the back seat, not in the bus, not on the sidewalk. They're in the driver's seat. And this writer says, as I've reported the investigative documentaries and this column for years, Google, YouTube, etc., already knee deep in the mental health data mining, etc., etc. And the article goes into great detail of how the COVID pass, which is on the fast track now, and it will be, listen carefully, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, as the little book of Amos says, but I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, in the next 6 months, hear me, in the next 6 months, the United States of America will be under a mandated, federal government mandated COVID pass, and that means you must, by order of the federal government, get a vaccination, a COVID-19 vaccination, or you will not be able to buy, sell, trade, travel, or anything that's called a free people. And it validates the soon coming of the rapture of the church, because that statement, can't buy, sell, trade, open your business, etc., is absolutely what we find in Revelation chapter 13 with the Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, when he rules and reigns after the rapture of the church. And we're seeing the precursor of that with the vaccination mandate being put into place. I believe we have John on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, one thing, my wife and I, we will not take that vaccine. But last night we were listening to you online, pressing towards the prize, and it was an awesome message that you had. Not only are we having a relationship with Jesus, we are supposed to be disciples for him. So what are we, like what you said last night on when we listened to, what are we doing for ourselves? Look at Paul, where you pointed out that he had written all these epistles and books and things like that, but he said that he still was pressing towards the mark. So encouraging everybody to go and listen to you online, because it was awesome. The message that you had last night. So what are my wife and I, what are we doing? Not just saying that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, but what are we doing to further his kingdom? So thank you very much for the message that you have. And really great. We greatly appreciate your ministry.
Very good. Well, John, thank you so much, brother. It's humbling for me, and I'm very thankful to hear those words. I'm thankful that the message that's on, we're on the air 7 days a week, day and night, and I'm prayerful that it will impact the lives for eternity. And I'm thankful that you understand the need for Christians to be participating in the society in which we're living in. But this that we see taking place in America today and on a global basis today absolutely should cause every Christian to rejoice in the realization and the recognition that our redemption draweth nigh, and the realization and the recognition that the Scripture says that we're living in the last of the last days, the realization and the recognition that the Scripture says in the last days perilous times shall come. And the word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, and we're living in those dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult times today. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, under the Biden administration, we're watching the evisceration, the absolute destruction, the total tearing down of the warp and the woof of the family unit, the nuclear family unit, and of morals and ethics and values in America. And that war is an absolute open in your face battle against God and against the child of God and against anything that's moral and ethical. And it goes back to what is found in the book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spiritual wickedness in high places." And then the next verse, in the 13th verse, it says, taking on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand and stand in the evil day, and having done all that we might stand. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the battle that's taking place today. It's the battle for the soul of a nation. It's a battle against the Judeo-Christian values. It's a battle against the church. It's a battle against God. It is an undermining of the foundations of our nation. And Psalms 11:3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" We need to understand and recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it calls for action on the part of every child of God, for every Christian, that we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and not being shut out. But, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's taking place right now, very, very rapidly in the nation in which we're living, is that we're finding the doors being shut, the doors being closed on a very quick basis for the child of God. And it's because there's a hatred and a absolute despising of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the ones on a national television broadcast, his name was Joe Scarborough. And Scarborough just had some major demeaning, absolute hateful things to be said about Christians, about Christianity, and those that might refuse to take the vaccine. And as a result of that, a very liberal person even said, Naomi Wolf, vaccine passport spell the end of human liberty in America and around the world. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that, and we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Here's one article that says, is the use of COVID vaccines unethical and unethical human experimentation? And that's exactly what it is. It's an experimental drug. And yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, everybody pushing and shoving, thinking that they need to be in line to go ahead and get the vaccination. But it's going to be the point of demarcation where those that have said no, those that have refused to accept the vaccination, will be shut out. Shut out. Listen. Shut out. Will not be able to buy, sell, trade, open your business, or travel. Without the vaccination, where it's being required today, as in Israel and other nations, you cannot get on Uber, you cannot get on a Lyft ride, you cannot go to work, you cannot go to a restaurant without that vaccination COVID passport. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have everything taking place in the world today and in America today to undermine, tear down, and destroy the Judeo-Christian values. We need to look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.